How is everybody today? Y'all heard how on cue those kids were earlier with all those answers, so I know you are going to be just the same this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 14 this morning. Actually, I'm going to go there in a little bit. I'm going to start off in a different area of the Bible and just kind of introduce what I'm talking about this morning. Hebrews chapter 11 and 12 is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and it talks a lot about faith. Whenever you start with verse 1, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." It says, "By faith we understand the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made, or what is seen was not made out of what was visible." I'm going to kind of breeze through this and kind of mention some names that some of you may recognize. As you go on in this chapter, it says, "By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah." Are you recognizing some of these? "By faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, by faith Moses, by faith the people of Israel passed through the Red Sea on dry land, by faith the walls of Jericho fell." And it goes on to talk about some other names and some of the things they did by faith. It says, through faith they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames. They escaped the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. So how's your day been? Makes some of the things we face seem a little bit easier, doesn't it? You go to verse 39 in chapter 11. It says, "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." You move on to chapter 12, and it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." This is one of my favorite verses. "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so you will not grow weary and lose heart." Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we come to you this morning knowing that in so many times it is easy to lose heart. We think about the things we face each day, and God, I pray right now you'll just take those things out of our mind. You'll just take away any distractions, anything that can prevent us from hearing what you have this morning. Father, I just pray this morning you just take me out of the way. Father, so many times we come into this place expecting, and that's a good thing. We come expecting you to show up, but God, I pray this morning that you'll take any expectations we have and just surpass them as much as possible, just beyond our understanding. God, we love you and we give you honor and praise. And Jeff prays it every Sunday. And Father, I know the Spirit is already here, but I just pray again, come Holy Spirit. Just fill this place with your presence. Fill our hearts and our minds with your presence this morning. And just give us what you would have to say to each and every one of us. In your precious name. Amen. What I just read to you, chapter 11, is often referred to as a hall of fame. It has to do with faith. But as I said, my favorite verse, chapter 12, verse 2, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." We use that word a lot, don't we? We talk about faith. You know, as Christians, we use the word faith a lot. In Hebrews 11, I'll say it again, it tells us that faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. Other translations say it's the evidence or proof of things not seen. But all these people mentioned in Hebrews 11 had something in common. That thing is, they did not know exactly what was going to happen. But they acted in faith and they trusted God for the outcome. You know, it's one of those things we have to do. You know, I'm going to shift gears on you here in a minute, but we don't always know what the journey is going to, where the journey is going to take us. But we have to trust that God does. I can share a little bit of my testimony. You know, some of you came a few weeks ago to a concert I did up here to raise money for multiple sclerosis. And I was diagnosed with that disease back in 06. One of the things I didn't talk about that night, because there are so many aspects to what happened with this, but one of the things that happened, and I'm glad it was saved for this morning. Back in 2005, when I started having issues and started having symptoms, I just started pressing into God and, you know, just wondering what was going to happen. And there were two things that came to mind, and He just really instilled these in me. The first one was a statement. The first one is I heard Him say, "It's going to be okay." And then the second one came in the form of a question. It said, "Do you trust me?" He didn't say, "Trust me." He said, "Do you trust me?" And from that point on, I had to begin figuring out what it meant to truly trust God. Because it's easy to just say, "Yes, God, I'm going to trust you." Because I think if I asked every one of you this morning, you'd probably say, "Yes, I trust God." But what does it truly mean to trust Him? So I started off talking about faith, but I think that faith and trust are two words that go hand in hand this morning. So in John 14:1, Jesus made this statement to the disciples. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." Those are real simple words, aren't they? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. But I think if we're not careful, we can overlook what Jesus was trying to say there. I'm going to back up to John 13 and kind of set the scene for you when all this took place. This was the night of what we know as the Last Supper. Jesus was in the upper room with His disciples, a group of men that Scripture tells us had given up everything and come to walk with Him at the simple request, "Come follow me." That's all He said to them, and these men went. They watched Him perform miracles. They listened to Him teach. And somehow they still had a messed up view of Jesus' true purpose on earth. You know, some of them still believed that He would be a powerful political leader and rescue Israel from their enemies. And as He shared this meal that night, they watched as Jesus just completely shattered their image of who He was and what He came to do. Earlier in the night, Jesus had washed the disciples' feet. And then He started talking. He told them about Judas's betrayal. And then He had Peter say, "You know, I'm never going to fall away from you. I'm going to follow you." And He predicted that Peter was going to deny Him three times. Just think about the mood in that room that night. You know, you're here having this supper with Jesus, and He starts saying all these things. How would you feel? It'd be something to really think about. What is He trying to do here? But then Jesus spoke these words in John 14:1. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." And I think that night those words were meant to bring comfort to the disciples. And if we really look at them today, I think they can bring us that same comfort. But I go back to my original question whenever I said, you know, that came to me in the form of a question, "Do you trust me?" Think about it this morning. What does it mean to trust? The definition of trust is a basic dependence on someone or something, a belief that something will happen or someone will act in a certain way. So you take that definition and think about trusting God. Do we expect things to happen in a certain way? Do we believe that something will happen? As I prayed earlier, you come in this place expecting. What are you expecting this morning? Now, I have to be honest with you. There are times in my life that trusting God, it's not always so simple. I should say it's easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. If we just simply trust Him. And I bet a lot of you could agree with that this morning. It's not always easy. It's not always so simple. But when I was asked that question back in 2005, the only response I could give God was, "Yes, I trust you." But I had to think about what that meant. I kind of pulled this on Jordan earlier. I didn't tell him ahead of time until the greeting time, but I need his help with something. I'm going to step down here. And the reason I did that is because I didn't want him to think about it too much. I said, "Can I borrow you during the sermon?" He said, "For what?" I said, "Trust me." Yeah, come here. How long have we known each other, Jordan? About 2 years?
Too long.
Too long? Yeah. You're wishing we didn't at the moment, huh?
Yeah.
Now, you have probably seen this. This is an exercise in trust. Have you seen it where, you know, somebody turns their back and closes their eyes? And...
Are you catching me?
Do you not trust me, George?
Yeah,
sure. He's debating about it. Okay. But I'm going to take it a step further. I want you to stand over here, and I'm going to stand over here. And when I count to three, fall backwards, and I'm going to run and catch you. I don't think he trusts me. What do y'all think? Sit down, man. Sit down. Because I'm not sure I trust that I could catch him either. So. Man. God. I thought you trusted me, brother. That's why you tell him during the greeting time, because he would have been sitting over thinking, what's he going to do to me? But that's the way we are with trust a lot of times. We start actually getting the details of what's going to happen, and it's like, I don't know if I'm ready to trust that far. I said I would trust you, but I don't know. Got another story that I heard one time of a tightrope walker. And my first question with this, just because of the way I question things, this tightrope walker was at Niagara Falls, and it said he had a tightrope stretched across Niagara Falls. And my first question was, how did he get it there? Yeah. Right? Obvious question. But this crowd starts gathering around. They see this tightrope, and they're like, what's he fixing to do? So he asked them, he says, do y'all believe that I can walk across this tightrope and back over Niagara Falls? And people start cheering, yeah, we believe it. So he gets on the tightrope, he walks across, and comes back. They're all cheering. So he brings out a wheelbarrow, and he says, okay, do you believe I can walk across this tightrope over Niagara Falls, pushing this wheelbarrow, and come back? They're like, yeah, we believe you. We believe you can do it. So he does it. And then he comes back, and he says, okay, one more question. Do you believe I can walk across this tightrope with this wheelbarrow with somebody in it and back? And they're like, yes, we believe you. He says, who wants to get in the wheelbarrow? And they all walk away. Trust was gone really quick, wasn't it? You can trust things up to a point. But I say that to say this. Trusting God is not a partial commitment. Amen? We either fully commit and show that we trust Him, or we show that we don't by just giving Him the pieces or the leftovers. It's not just about saying we trust God, because we can do that all day long. I can sit here and say I trust God, but one of these days He's going to ask me to get in the wheelbarrow. He's going to ask you to get in the wheelbarrow. And then where are you? But just like with the question I said I was asked, do you trust me? There comes a time when you have to look at God, just say, God, this doesn't make sense. I really don't see where it's going, but I'm going to trust you. That's where I was. I said yes, but I actually felt those same things. It doesn't make sense. I really don't see where it's going, but I trust you. And trusting God means that we believe a lot of times in what we can't see and what we may not understand. Does that sound familiar? Back to Hebrews 11 about faith. As I said, they go hand in hand. But trusting God is against our human nature. And the reason for that is it means that we're not in control of our lives. And most of us really don't like that. It's hard to think that you're not in control. But I want you to think about something. I want you to think about the things we trust in every day without giving a second thought. You know, most of you, whenever you came here today, you went out and got in a vehicle. You turned the ignition thinking this vehicle's going to start and I'm going to be on my way to church, right? You trusted that vehicle was going to start. I had some back in high school and college that I didn't trust were going to start. But for the most part, we just put that trust in that vehicle that it's going to start and we're going to be able to go. You know, you take a job and you trust that that employer is going to give you a paycheck on time and when they're supposed to, right? How about this? When you walk into a room, you flip a switch, and what do you expect? Light. You aren't quite as fast as the kids were this morning. You flip that switch and you expect the light to come on. Unless the bulb's burned out or you didn't pay your bill, right? Okay. But we trust when we flip that switch, there's going to be light. You know, you don't see the electricity run through the wires, or at least you shouldn't. But I'm not an electrician. I really don't understand how electricity works, but I still flip that switch knowing there's going to be light. However it gets there, that's good, but it's going to be there. So we do that. So why can't we put that kind of trust in God? The one who says, I've never changed, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why can't we do that? This is my question for you this morning. What would it take to get a getting into the wheelbarrow kind of trust in God? But here's the thing. We want to trust, but there are things in life that we just can't let go of. We just can't let go. I'm not going to sing the Frozen song. Y'all don't get worried. Let it go. There's another story. You know, I talked earlier about all these people that acted in faith. And this is one of them. In Genesis chapter 22, there's a story of the testing of Abraham. That's one of my favorite stories. Actually, I have a song that goes with it, and I should have done it this morning. But just to tell you this story, and you all know it. And as a father, I tell you, this story makes me cringe. Because just to think about it, Abraham had prayed for years for a child. And when he was 100 years old, Isaac was born. Scripture tells us how God tested Abraham and told him to sacrifice the one thing that Abraham treasured. He said, I want you to take your son and I want you to sacrifice him. And what did Abraham do? He said, okay. He took his son and was just to the point where he was fixing to sacrifice him. And what happened? God provided another sacrifice in place of Isaac. Because Abraham had proven to be faithful. He showed that he trusted God and was willing to let go of the one thing he treasured most. And why was that? Just because God said. Just because he said. Now, I read another story of a little boy. They found him and he had his hand stuck inside of a jar and he was just crying. They said, what's wrong? He said, I can't get my hand out of the jar. So they tried everything they could to get his hand out of the jar. They were putting stuff on it and his hand still wouldn't come out. And his dad came in and he said, son, just open your hand. Because he had his hand clenched like this. He said, just open your hand. And the little boy said, but if I open my hand, I'll lose my penny. Some of y'all get that later. But he just kept crying and saying, I mean, he had that fist clenched so tight and wouldn't let it go. So I ask you this morning, is there anything in your life that you're holding on to so tight that's keeping you from experiencing the change God wants to make in your life? Think about it. Are you holding on to anything that you're not willing to let go of for God? Now, I've always joked, whenever I preach, I always say everything's a song, and I've got one this morning too. There's a song by Casting Crowns called Somewhere in the Middle. And there's a line in that song that gets my attention every time. It says, how close can I get to my surrender without losing all control? How close can I get? So you're just looking for that space where I'm still in control of life, but, you know, God, I'm giving it to you, but let me hang on to this part. Just let me have a little bit of control. And that's not what He's wanting from us. Because we want to trust God with our lives as long as He doesn't mess with our lives. Amen. That sounded a little harsh, didn't it? But I think it's true. So let's go a step further than that. We want God to work in our lives, but we want Him to do it on our terms. Honoring our thoughts and ideas and making things the way we think life should be. That's not the kind of trust He's looking for. Here's the kind of trust He's looking for. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. These are more of my favorite verses. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Now, when you start looking at Scriptures, it becomes very apparent that God requires action on our part. You know, Scripture is full of promises. I'm going to share a few with you here. See if you recognize this one. It says, stay where you are, all who are weary and burdened, and I will bring you rest. Maybe not. Didn't sound quite right, did it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son so that no one will perish, but everyone will have everlasting life. So am I missing something there? It's whoever believes, right? That first one is, come to me and I will give you rest. And Proverbs 3 that I just read doesn't say God will make your path straight no matter what. It gives us some direction before that. It says, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. And then it says to acknowledge Him. So trusting God requires us to take a step and believe God will provide our needs. You know, we see this over and over in the Word that there is action required. I'd read this one time. Max Lucado is one of my favorite authors to read. And I actually have calendars at work that have little sayings from him and scriptures. This is the one thing I read one time that really got my attention. It said, there is something about the cross that causes everyone in history to either step towards it or away from it. Y'all agree with that? And I've said it all the time whenever I was on the road, no matter what I was doing, there's no fence sitting permitted. There's no middle of the road. You're either stepping towards it or away from it. Now you can look at the cross, you can look at Jesus, you can look at the sacrifice. You can say all day long, you know, God, I want to trust you, but you got to take a step. And that's scary. You think about it, you know, you say, God, I'm going to trust you. He gives you a little bit of direction. You say, okay, I'm going to follow you. You take a step and then you freeze. Because what are you doing? Looking for that next step, right? Wondering, where do I go now? And all He's asking you is take another step. It's like, but God, I can't see that step. I can't, you know, I don't know what's waiting up there. And He says, take another step. That's all He's asking. Take another step. It may seem scary to you. You may not see that next step. But guess what? God does. Isn't that good news? He knows what that next step's going to be. Because John 14:1 reminds us, on this journey our hearts can become troubled. But He gives the answer. He says, trust in God. And we trust in God by trusting in Jesus. You know, whenever I stand up in places, I've gone to a lot of churches, and you know, you walk into a place and you think, or you, I wouldn't even use the word assume, you don't want to do that, but you know, you hope everybody in that place already knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But we've been in so many places that, you know, you start to realize they don't. And people are hurting, people are going through so many things. You know, even with the EMS thing, there have been times I've stood up and said, you know what, I'm not even going to talk about this today. And guess what? God's like, take a step, you know. And I end up talking about it, and people have come forward to myself or Danny, after it's over, and said, hey, I've got a friend going through this, or, you know, I'm going through this myself. Whether it's EMS, whether it's cancer, just so many things that people are hurting with, and they'll say, can you pray for me? It's just amazing the doors it can open. But Jesus reminds us on this journey, our hearts can become troubled. But He gives that answer, trust in God, trust also in me. So what that means this morning is we have to look past the things that weigh us down. We have to look or forget about that past that's weighing us down. And we have to look beyond the present. I want everybody to close your eyes for a minute. I'm not going to make you fall backwards because you're sitting down already, so... While you have your eyes closed, I just want you to do something for me. I just want you to picture Jesus. Just get your best picture of Him in your mind. Now I want you to picture Jesus on that cross with nails through His feet and His hands. Just in agony. Just, you know, it's a hard thing to picture, I know, but just picture it for a minute. Can you see it? Now I want you to look at that cross as a dividing line. Jesus is stretched out, one hand reaching into the past, the other one reaching into the future. And the only thing in the middle is Jesus, the living Son of God, and His blood. Because when you go from that past to the future, His blood is what covers all that. And just keep your eyes closed. Now in John 14, Jesus goes on to reveal for those who believe there's a bright hope in the future. He goes on in verses 2 and 3 to say, in My Father's house are many rooms or many mansions in some translations. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come again and take you with Me, that you may be where I am. A future and a hope. Another favorite verse, and probably most people in here know it and can quote it, Jeremiah 29:11, says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, it's an amazing verse. We all know it and quote it. But there's more to the story than that. I talked about action being required earlier. You continue reading verses 12 and 13 go on to say, "Then you will call on me and seek, or and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So he says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a hope and a future." But then he asks us to call on him and to pray to him and to seek him with all our hearts. Again, there's action required. Y'all just keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If I could have the worship team come forward. I just want you to spend a little time this morning just thinking about different things in your life that, you know, God's asking you to trust Him with. What is He asking you to do this morning? Are you holding on to anything that you would not let go of for God? Let me ask you that question. Are you holding something, clenching your fist so tight that it's keeping you from moving forward and experience the change He has for your life? Is He asking you this morning to just let go? Is He asking you to loosen your grip? Is He asking you just to trust Him? We sang a song earlier that said, "I need you. Every hour I need you." Do you need Him this morning? Do you need Him so much that you're willing to trust what He's got for your life? That you're willing to trust and let go of those things that can keep you from Him? Are you here this morning? You've never even, you know about this Jesus I'm talking about. You've heard about Him, but you've never experienced a relationship with Him. Are you willing to take that step this morning? That's all He's asking you to do is take a step. Trust me. That's my question, the bigger question. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to take that next step? As we sing this last song, the altar is open. The altar is always open. I'll be up here if you need to pray with somebody else, with Jeff, with anybody, they'll be available. Just keep those questions in mind. Just focus this morning on that one thing that He may be asking you to do. And there may be lives out here where He's asking you to do a lot of things and you may have to take them one at a time. But just ask Him, "Where do you want to take me? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to let go of?" And then be willing to do it. As we sing.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the same but more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him.
So sweet to trust in Jesus. Those aren't just words to a song. That's life. Y'all would. I just have to do it because we have to sing that chorus one more time.
Well, let's sing it like we mean at church.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him.
Today, I just pray for that grace and that peace of Jesus to trust Him more be on all your lives. Just go in peace, go in His strength, go in His love. Bless y'all. Y'all have a great week.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon